Trappers in Nevada can make a substantial income selling bobcat pelts. The trappers also say they play an important role in keeping animal populations under control. But conservationists and animal rights activists say trapping in Nevada is woefully unregulated compared to other states, and that the practice itself is cruel. Traps set for wild animals like bobcats, for example, sometimes catch domestic animals. The latest proposed change to trapping regulations in Nevada would alter how long a trapper should wait before checking the trap. John Sullivan is the vice president of the Nevada Trappers Association. Mr. Sullivan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
Your group's not happy with the proposal to require more frequent visits, particularly in metro areas like Las Vegas and Reno. Explain why you oppose the plan to go from every 4 days to every 2 days.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's good to be here. We oppose it primarily because we think there is a failure to identify the problem. And if we don't articulate and define the problem, it's very hard to address the solution to the problem. So when it came down to talking about 96 hours, which has worked very well in this state for over 40 years, and making a change in certain areas, we kept asking, you know, the wildlife commissioners and the proponents of this action, you know, what is it we're trying to fix here?
Are you saying then that there aren't domestic animals? There aren't the stories of domestic animals are apocryphal, just not necessarily based in fact?
No, there are some dogs caught in traps. I think the Nevada Department of Wildlife keeps statistics on that, and I think it's something like 30-some dogs a year are caught. Most of them are not caught in Clark County. Most of them are caught in the urban areas. Most of them are hunting dogs used by chukar hunters or bird hunters in very remote areas. And the statistics bear that out. I think the average distance from town a dog is caught is like 10 miles out of any town. So this is not a problem around Las Vegas or around Washoe, around Clark, Reno in Washoe County. It's primarily a remote issue. So, yeah, some dogs are caught, but the dogs are not injured. They're released on the spot. And the issue is primarily one of hunting dogs being caught, not pets.
It seems like a relatively small change to go from every 4 days to every 2 days. But explain why the Nevada Trappers Association opposes this change.
Well, again, we didn't think it was necessary. You know, 96 hours has worked very well. The nature of trapping is the trappers go into pretty remote areas, very hard to access, even in Clark County. You know, when we get off the highways here, the landscape is very, very difficult. It usually requires horseback or ATV. It's even difficult to get to some of these areas in a four-wheel drive vehicle. So it's very time-consuming. It takes a lot of time to access these back areas that we go to check your traps. So we think the 96-hour regulation has worked very well for us for all these years, and it's a big problem to get back into these remote areas more frequently than that.
Now, also with us is Don Moldy. He is a conservationist based in Reno. Don Moldy, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, you oppose this proposal as well, but for different reasons than John Sullivan. Explain your opposition.
I missed the early part of it, so I'm not sure what the question was. But if you're talking about why we're not happy with what the commission is going to do, is that the question?
Yeah, just why you're opposed to this proposal to require more frequent visits to traps.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you look at it as something of a token change?
Well, what the Wildlife Commission is proposing to do in August is absolutely a token change, if not a postage stamp change, as I characterize it. The Wildlife Commission in August will either do nothing, leaving everything the same as it was for the last several decades, or they will institute a two-calendar-day visitation requirement within the congested firearms portion of Las Vegas proper, and essentially the same thing around Reno, and that's it. And neither one of those will address any of the concerns that we have with respect to the animals and birds that get caught in traps that shouldn't be there.
So how often do you think traps should be checked, or do you just think that shouldn't be an issue at all?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yes, why do we have trap visitation? If the trapper's point of view is correct, that animals don't mind being in traps, that the economics of trapping will dictate when somebody goes to his trap or her trap to clean out what they have, And if humane issues, that is, concerns about the welfare of animals and birds that get caught in traps, is not a concern, why do we have any trap visitation at all? It's a good question. But it turns out every state in the union, with the possible exception of Alaska, does have visitation requirements, and therefore there must be some underlying concern for the welfare of the animals and birds involved, and that it's not solely for trapper convenience. And so we're interested, from our point of view, in doing something about the critters that get caught in traps. We don't care as much about what the convenience factor is for trappers.
Mm-hmm. Do you disapprove, Don Moldy, of any kind of trapping?
Oh, personally, absolutely I do. I think it's a horrible thing. Most people that I run into think it disappeared 100 years ago. There are many people in this state who have no idea that trapping is still occurring.
Mm-hmm. What to you is the biggest issue with the use of and the setting of traps? Is it the possibility of injuring non-targeted animals? Is it just the practice itself? What's the big issue for you?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would like to get caught in a trap. And if a trapper caught you in a snare and you struggled to get out of it and strangled yourself, I don't think you'd like that either. So, no, we don't think animals and birds, they catch birds occasionally. We don't think those animals should be trapped anymore. Trapping is illegal in some states and in many countries. There is no need to trap. It's an archaic event that had some aura and glory to it, 200-300 years ago, but it has no place in modern society and should be banished, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Now, John Sullivan, I want to ask you to respond to that in just a second, but as sort of a background, how important is the trapping industry to rural Nevada? Do trappers make a living selling pelts, or is it mostly something of a hobby?
It's kind of a combination of both, Dave. I think there's very few people in Nevada make their entire income from trapping, very few. But I think a lot of people, particularly in small towns and in rural areas, supplement their income with trapping. So they're ranchers, they're miners, they're firefighters, they do something else for the majority of their income, but they certainly supplement their income with trapping, and it's very important to them.
Okay, and then to respond to what Don Moldy is saying, being critical of this, why trapping? Why not hunt the bobcats and kill them? Isn't there an element of unnecessary cruelty in keeping the animals trapped for 3 or 4 days with their legs in a vise?
I don't think so, and it's not only my word for this, or the trappers, or how we feel, but every single Fish and Wildlife Agency agrees with the fact that trapping is humane. It's a critical and essential wildlife management tool, and without trapping, the animals would suffer horribly on their own through disease, depredation, starving to death. So trapping, it's not only from my opinion, but I have literature here I can leave you that quotes, all of the associations of fish and wildlife groups, the Wildlife Society, the American Veterinary Association, all of the mainstream biological and medical professions that have studied trapping agree that it's a humane and necessary tool.
Don Moldy, what do you say to this? Is this an area where there are other ways in which these animals could perish that are even less pleasant than trapping? I mean, should we just leave things to nature in effect?
Well, first of all, let me say that Mr. Sullivan has left out a whole other group of organizations that have commented on trapping, and all those are organizations such as the Humane Society of the United States and other animal advocacy organizations that also have a point of view of this which does not fit with the Fish and Game Agency's point of view. And what you need to understand before I get to your next point is that fish and game agencies promote trapping. They're pro-trapping. They protect trappers. So what they say is on the trapper's side of it. It's not a balanced perspective that they present, in my view. But as far as animals got along fine without traps before the white man ever showed up and started using them, there's no if trappers are claiming that they're Mother Nature's little helper saving animals from starvation and predation, that's silly. It doesn't really... It's silly. There's no reason to comment on. Animals can live their life perfectly well on their own without us intervening and saving them from disaster.
But at the same time, Don Moldy, are you saying that it is a completely different realm from, say, hunting, where the hunting of deer in some parts of the U.S. in effect culls the herd, thins the herd out a bit, and also can prevent starvation and other things later on?
Well, let's take the starvation issue. How does a hunter, when he shoots a deer, know that that's a deer that's going to starve to death? Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And if you were able to ask the deer, do you mind getting shot so you won't die of starvation, what do you think the deer would say? Probably, you know what, I'd rather take my chances. Why don't you shoot the next guy? It's an argument that, to me, is silly. It's something that they say because they have to say something to defend this practice. But to me, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. John Sullivan, are there precautions the trappers take to ensure that non-targeted animals are not caught? Are there any other precautions or things of that sort? I guess I should give you a chance to respond to Don Moldy if you'd like to do that, too.
I would like to respond to Don Moldy. He mentioned the Humane Society. The Humane Society mostly focuses on domestic animals, pets, dogs, and cats. The Humane Society last year euthanized over 20 million dogs and cats in America. This number is down from 37 million a few years ago. So here in the domestic animal side of things, you know, we have large groups and large taxpayer-funded organizations, animal control agencies, dog pounds, all this stuff oriented towards the control of domestic dogs and cats, resulting in the euthanization or killing of 20 million last year. So we have this enormous program managing domestic dogs and cats, and the Humane Society is in the lead on that. Now, if Don Moldy would have his way, we would obliterate the same type of control on the wildlife side of things. Can you imagine if we eliminated all animal control on the domestic side of things, where we're taking out 20 million excess or diseased dogs and cats a year, and we just let them run amok in America? And that's what he's proposing for wildlife.
But am I hearing you saying that then that the trapping industry, in effect, is analogous to the Humane Society euthanizing animals in shelters and such?
It is a good analogy. It is a primary tool used by modern wildlife management agencies, hunting and trapping, a control measure to enable healthy and sustainable wildlife populations.
What about assuming or assuring that, say, that animal populations remain plentiful? How is that accomplished in an industry like this where a lot of animals are removed from the population base?
Yeah, very good question. The facts of life is that there's usually an imbalance of nature. There's always cycles. Rabbits, for example. In Nevada, we have a rabbit population that goes through these 10-year cycles, and there's explosions in their numbers, you know, radical ups and downs. And when they're having these up cycles, you know, disease is rampart and you see them hit all over the roads. You know, there's a lot of carnage in these things. By using hunting and trapping, the professional wildlife organizations like our NDAL, Nevada Department of Wildlife, is able to interject hunting and trapping to make a more even keel or a sustainable level, so you don't have these radical, you know, ups and downs in these animals where they disappear off the landscape for 10 years and then they come back and overpopulate. You know, you have, you know, radical imbalances going on and historically in nature. When Peter Skeen Ogden, one of the first pioneers, came through northern Nevada, he saw no wildlife, none. They were gone. It was one of these down cycles. And he made all these inserts in his journal about that, the lack of wildlife. Today, we have a very abundant and healthy wildlife through these modern wildlife management programs, and hunting and trapping are the cornerstones of these programs.
Don Moldy, is hunting and trapping a part of intelligent wildlife management? I mean, is that important to keeping wildlife on something of an even keel in Nevada and in other places as well?
Well, hunting, you need to understand that wildlife management in Nevada and in the West basically is oriented to keeping ungulates at the top of the totem pole, that is deer, elk, pronghorns, bighorn sheep, and so on. And all other animals and management techniques are secondary to having an ungulate population because that's what hunters want to kill. And I don't agree with that strategy, but that's the way it is. But with respect to trapping, let's be clear about a couple of things. One is that the Department of Wildlife does not tell trappers where to go and what animals to kill. There is no scheme that trappers are to carry out on behalf of the Department of Wildlife that tells them what animals need to be killed. There is no such thing. trappers go where they want to go to kill animals for money. That is all it amounts to. And there is no grand scheme beyond that for some sort of population control of some animal that probably doesn't need it. But beyond that, let me tell you why trappers cause a problem with respect to the coyote. The word control, when Mr. Sullivan uses it and it's used in fish and game halls, control is a euphemism for kill. And we have no disagreement with the idea that trappers kill animals. They certainly do. But to imply some greater purpose, some helping hand to Mother Nature, is nonsense. In fact, trappers may make the coyote issue worse. Because coyotes, when they're killed randomly and intensively, as happens in this state, by the way, we kill about 10,000 coyotes a year in Nevada, in case any of your listeners are interested. When that happens, coyotes increase their litter size, produce more juveniles, and then you wind up with more coyotes than you started with. And trappers are a part of that mismanagement of the coyote population, even though they think they're doing the contrary.
Okay, Don Moldy, in half a minute or so, what do you think is the most urgent change necessary for Nevada's trapping regulations as they exist now?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked that. We need a trapping management plan in Nevada that includes many elements, not only a visitation element, but others, so that non-target animals, birds and animals, including mountain lions in this state, which are hammered by trappers, that these animals have a shade of protection they do not now have. That is the biggest issue we have.
John Sullivan, same question to you, although maybe in your case it's what regulation is most in need of preserving. But what do you think is the most urgent change that is out there that perhaps should be made to Nevada law?
Yeah, excellent question, Dave. Myself and the Nevada Trapper Association are big proponents of education. You know, of our guiding principles and goals and purposes, 2 out of 5 of those are educating. Not only educating our members on the proper techniques and uses of traps and regulations and moral and ethical trapping, but also public education. A lot of other states do a much, much better job of educating the public on the necessity of these wildlife management programs. And I think that's a little bit lacking in this state. And I think if there's a gap or a missing link here, I would say it's education.
Don Moldy is a conservationist in Reno. John Sullivan is vice president for the Nevada Trappers Association. Mr. Moldy, Mr. Sullivan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.